As we know, the Blessed Virgin has come forth in her apparition at Bayside to alert the world's peoples to the great and final events of our era that are soon to transpire. In the message, Our Lady has said, "It is the major plan of Satan to bring about a one-world government and a one-world religion." And that's Our Lady speaking October 1st, 1977. In a nutshell, the plan of the one-worlders is to eliminate the papacy and Christianity and unite the nations under a new world government under the heading of 666. The internationalists are using the issue of the environment to advance their plan. This is the charm they'll use to sell the new world order, since they know that no one in their right mind wants polluted lakes and streams, so they make their point seem very indisputable, like they're nice guys concerned about our planet. Yet these environmentalists themselves on the upper level have no regard for the environment. They're in cahoots with OPEC and the big industrialists that are polluting our planet and our resources. So this is only a ploy that they are using to impose their plan and sell America on the New World Order. We got to remember, what they want is world power and the glorification of the devil. And they're seeing the world as his kingdom or his domain, like it was a tabernacle. And we'll pick up on this in a bit. But right now we're going to hear from SMWA President Michael Mangan speaking to the faithful at the November 15th monthly meeting in College Point, New York. And a little ways on in his talk, he addresses the issue of this impending new world government that is now ready to unfold.
Welcome to our meeting, our November meeting in College Point, Queens, hosted by the Lay Order of St. Michael. And it's good to see a nice crowd here this afternoon. In advance, we want to wish you and all of your loved ones a very happy and blessed Thanksgiving. And if there's anything that we're thankful for, and I think I speak for all of you, it is the apparitions of our Blessed Mother under the title of Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help of Mothers. Where would we be without Bayside? And I know it's a mantra or a common refrain that I've repeated over the years, but it bears repeating. I mean, good Lord, where would we be? Perhaps so many of us would be on that wide road to perdition, but that's what this message is all about. It is a call to conversion. It's a call to holiness. And so Our Lady of the Roses and St. Michael, as it were, have shoved us, if you will, onto the narrow road. And I say shove because, as you know, the Bayside message is not really a gentle call. It's a jolt. Some might say even a kick in the stomach or something. But that's what we need sometimes. That's what we need sometimes to get our motor going in the right direction and on that narrow road. Sometimes the good Lord and Our Lady have to be stern to get that message across, just like Mom and Dad had to be stern with us sometimes to get that message across. And so it's worked. It's worked for you and me and for thousands of others throughout the world. So we're very, extremely thankful for Bayside, for its guidance, its counsel, its direction, its cure, conversion, and healings. It's just been truly a godsend for humanity. Interesting, I was just talking with a Baysider from Boston. And it's good to see Francis and his mother, Mel. They've come all the way from Boston for the holy hour this morning and for our meeting. But a good lady there was telling me, she says, don't use my name. But God bless her. But she was saying, she was all excited, she says, because she's been working on this little project. And she really achieved this little, she was successful. And what it was is a owner of a religious goods store in Brockton, two floors, I guess it's quite big, this Catholic religious goods store. And she's been working on him for him to pass out the Bayside message. And so he finally agreed. And so on the counter, at the register, when the faithful are coming with their purchases, the rosaries and statues and books and so forth, after they purchase it, they put it in the bag, he's thrown in a Bayside message in every, isn't that good? Yeah. So I asked her, I says, what message is he given? What message? A monetary crash, the warning, and Bayside facts revealed. You know, imagine coming home from your shopping, you're sitting down with a cup of coffee, you open it up, and the warning. I think he's instructed the attendants to ask, would you like a message? Most people, yeah, it's free, go ahead. But that, as far as I know, that's a first. I haven't heard that before. And this is not just a little one-room Catholic religious good shop. It's two floors in Brockton. Two floors. And now with Christmas coming, it's going to be a busy season. God love them. I hope there's no feedback. You know, some bishop comes in, you know, for a, you know, a new cross, a crucifix, you know. But actually, what's important too, a little preface to this, is that this didn't happen overnight. She had given him her miraculous picture that she had taken many, many years ago. If you remember the luminous cross, I think we have it in the slide presentation this afternoon. Remember the big white luminous cross with the American flag behind it? She had given it to him years ago, and he actually put it in a plastic stand like so, right next to the cash register. And this was a budding religious gift shop. He started in his garage. His parents started in his garage. I think they've since deceased. The business was passed on to him and has expanded into a two-floor religious gift shop. He attributes the success, according to this good Baysider, he attributes the success of this religious gift store to that miraculous picture that he had for years on the counter next to the cash register. So, in fact, he was telling her that he was so upset because someone from New Orleans came. I think New Orleans or from the Midwest or something, saw the picture and said, wow, can I have that picture? And he reluctantly said, yeah, go ahead. But that's what it's led to anyway, so. And I know Mike Broidrick was going to go visit the owner. She wanted me to write to him, but he's going to go visit the owner, give him more supplies of messages and so forth. So we know the power of a message, right? All it takes is one message. Another interesting little tidbit, too, I was just reading. I thought this was really interesting. Last month we were talking about the canonization of Saint Damien. Damien de Voister, the leper saint from Belgium. And I was just reading recently that after he died, as you know, his life was just heroic, just really phenomenal, that he treated the lepers in Hawaii, and he volunteered to go there, and eventually that was a death sentence, because in that time, the late 1800s, if you contracted leprosy, that was a death sentence. They had no cure and so forth. So he knew, any priest or anyone volunteering to work there, you were probably going to contract the disease and die. Well, he did just tremendous work, as we discussed. But also it was quite controversial in some ways, as odd as that may sound, someone reaching out to the poor, the oppressed, the sick, the diseased, and the marginalized, there's always some controversy involved. Even in his death, even after his death, it created some, wow, that was heroic, and other people's, no, you don't know, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, because of the little hue and cry, even after his death, there was a lot of ink and press release and everything, he was being attacked. And Robert Louis Stevenson, any English literature majors recognize that name?
Kidnapped.
The author of Kidnapped, the author of Treasure Island. I mean, a real English class. He was Scottish. He was Scottish Presbyterian. And he actually came to the defense of Saint Damien. And he wrote a letter. They were attacking him in an Australian newspaper. And he read this, and he says, wait a second. I was there at Molokai after his death. He had heard about it. He says, I want to visit this place. I want to check it out for myself. He was there for 8 days. He was really moved and impressed by the whole enriching experience. He happened to be visiting in Australia and when the editor or someone wrote this scathing piece against Father Damien. And when he saw the author, it was a Presbyterian minister. Now, Robert Louis Stevenson is Scottish Presbyterian, and he knew the person who wrote it. So he says, wait a second, I'm not going to let this go by. And so he wrote a letter to this paper and really defended St. Damien, and in fact told him, really, really took charge and was very critical of this Presbyterian minister, and that if you really knew who this person was, that this was an agent from the good Father in heaven, but since you're not an agent of God, then you wouldn't recognize it. I mean, it was pretty strong. It was pretty, pretty strong. It was something like that, but it was pretty strong. And he predicted, this is a Presbyterian, Robert Louis Stevenson, he's a Presbyterian. He says, one day, Father Damien will be canonized by the Catholic Church. And he was. Yeah, they're interesting, yeah. And did anyone have a chance to see Mary Magdalene's relics? I know, oh, you did, Margarita. Where did you see it? Our Savior's Church, wonderful. Anyways, Mary Magdalene's relics are making the tour of the United States. And the Lay Order of St. Michael, I know Mary Ellen, Margarita was there, Charles was there. We had the opportunity to venerate the relics at Immaculate Conception Seminary in Huntington this past week. And so it was brought by the Dominicans. The Dominicans actually host this relic in France, and right in their religious house, wasn't it not? In their religious house, they actually have this relic of Mary Magdalene. It's her tibia, which is a part of her leg bone. And it was a really, really fantastic spiritual experience to be there, obviously, to venerate the relic of such a holy woman, a saintly woman. We all know or heard the story of Mary Magdalene, at least in parts and pieces. And what we do know, it is very, very inspiring. And it's just, you know, you hear the expression that you can't make this up. And it just struck me anyways, and I was telling the fellows that you consider St. Mary Magdalene, this was a prostitute, had seven demons released, expelled from her, and yet she was the first person to witness the resurrection of the Lord. She's known as the apostle to the apostles. Our Lord said that when you love much, much is forgiven. This is someone who loved enormously. It's just amazing how the good Lord works. And let's just carry this one step further. You look at the first vicar of Christ, St. Peter, a fisherman, a simple fisherman. He's the first vicar of Christ. St. Paul is known as the greatest apostle. He was an accomplice to murders of Christians. You have the thief hanging on the cross next to our Lord who stole heaven, St. Dismas. I mean, the list is endless. I mean, God writes straight with crooked lines. We say that a lot, but isn't it amazing how the good Lord works? And I think the point being is that Bayside, we're on track. We're on track then. Because if that's how the good Lord works, we're on track. We fit the profile, don't we? And so that day will come when this will finally be recognized and Bayside will redound to the honor and glory of God. We mentioned in our promo or announcement about a new world order. Is it here upon us? And interestingly, some of you may have already seen this on the YouTube, but we're going to play it here in a few moments. And this particular address, very revealing, very scary, even though there is a little update. There is an update on this. But this is an address by Lord Christopher Monckton, his former policy advisor for Margaret Thatcher, the former Prime Minister of England, and who was a very, very close friend with Ronald Reagan, by the way, as well. But he is warning about this conference and treaty, the conference that's going to be occurring next month in Copenhagen. And their intention was to sign a treaty. All of the world leaders will be there, 150 countries and leaders will be there to sign off on this treaty of climate change. It sounds pretty innocuous, and, well, pretty harmless, but it goes well beyond that. And I just was breezing through the New York Times this morning, And I happened to, this article happened to catch my attention, and it said that this conference that we were just, that we're just speaking about now has, that it's been downgraded. They're still going to have the conference, but they realize now that they don't have the time to get the signatures and the people behind to make this binding as they want. Because their intention was to get all of these, the obviously the United States, all of the people on board for this climate change conference. They're all concerned about global warming and the emissions of carbon dioxide, CO2. And because of these great emissions of CO2, and especially the industrialized nations like the United States and Europe are responsible for this, we have to pay the bill. And therefore, this is good reason now, a good reason now to start a new process, new rules and regulations regarding the environment, taxation, and so forth. And that this would be governed by the United Nations, not by the United States. So rules and regulations regarding the environment, CO2 emissions, even taxation would not be governed by the United States, but by the United Nations, among other things. This is their objective. And so this one paragraph really sums it up, brief paragraph, about this global climate change conference in Copenhagen. Lord Monckton says, quote, "I have read that treaty, and what it says is this, that a world government is going to be created. The word government actually appears as the first of three purposes of the new entity. The second purpose is the transfer of wealth from the countries of the West to third world countries and satisfaction of what is called coyly climate debt. And the third purpose of this new entity, this government, is enforcement." How many of you think that the word election or democracy or vote or ballot occurs anywhere in the 200 pages of that treaty? Quite right, it doesn't appear once. And Mr. Lord Monckton continues. He says that if Obama signs this treaty, quote, "he will sign your freedom, your democracy, and your prosperity away forever." This is the conference next month in Copenhagen. Now, as I said, the update is, although it really doesn't change much, it's maybe by a few months, a year or two, whatever, but the update is that they realize, the conference leaders realize, that they're not going to be able to put this all together. Because what they want, as it even said in the New York Times today, is they want a powerful binding agreement from the U.S. and from all the superpowers in the world. And they just don't have the time right now to do it. But as the article in the Times said, is that they're still going to have the conference. This is still going to be building up to this. They're just lining up their ducks. They're building it up. They said the next time they meet in Mexico City, so down the road, 4 months, 6 months, a year, it doesn't change anything other than the timing. That's about all really the change is. Their intent is still the same. And what Lord Monckton was warning about, he was sounding the alarm that next month in Copenhagen, if they had their way, then Obama would sign our sovereignty away. Now, there is a couple of checks and balances. The Senate does have to ratify it. They need 67 votes in the Senate. And but you know how it is with the legislation. There's ways that they can get around that, too. They can shove it. They can package it with another deal, kind of shove it through, and that type of thing. It's scary. Pretty scary. Pretty scary. It's in line with what we were talking about last month about the Antichrist and what Cardinal Biffy was warning us about. That this Antichrist is going to be a green one, if you will, that they're going to use ecology and environmentalism. That type of thing will be the major vehicle that they will use to achieve their objective of one world government, a new world order. And this is what this Lord Monckton is talking about. And in some ways, it's kind of hilarious when you talk about this global warming and the CO2 emissions and everything. This particular article, they're quoting the current Prime Minister of Britain, Gordon Brown, and he's saying that if we don't sign this, that there'll be, quote, a climate catastrophe. And he said that if we don't sign this treaty, again, he's saying that global warming would inflict more damage than both world wars and the Great Depression combined. And that the world has only several weeks to save itself from impending doom. This is this is the CO2 emissions. When you read some real good scientists, they've really exposed holes like Swiss cheese in this global warming. I mean, the hysteria that he's promoting, we haven't seen since the likes of Al Gore. I mean, the issue is not environmentalism. It's really the turning away from God. I mean, the violation of his commandments. In a word, what did our Lord say? The two greatest commandments. Love your God. Love your neighbor. That's what we're doing wrong. We're violating both of those in a very egregious way. Well, like Our Lady said, sin has become a way of life. And so we see all these acts of insanity. Look at Fort Hood. It's nuts. On our military base, 13 guys getting ready to go to Iraq, and some terrorist. Let's call it what it is. He's a terrorist. But this is the situation. This is the new world order, the one world government. This is what they want to do. So it's delayed. They're still going to have the conference, as I said, but they have to. They're not going to get that binding agreement. It's only delaying it. This is what they want to do. Nothing's changed.
The following is taken from a video of Lord Christopher Monckton, former policy advisor to Margaret Thatcher, speaking to the public this past October 2009.
At Copenhagen, this December, weeks away, a treaty will be signed. Your president will sign it. Most of the third world countries will sign it because they think they're going to get money out of it. Most of the left-wing regimes around the world, like the European Union, will rubber stamp it. Virtually nobody won't sign it. I have read that treaty. And what it says is this, that a world government is going to be created. The word government actually appears as the first of three purposes of the new entity. The second purpose is the transfer of wealth from the countries of the West to third world countries in satisfaction of what is called coyly a climate debt, because we've been burning CO2 and they haven't, and we've been screwing up the climate. We haven't been screwing up the climate, but that's the line. And the third purpose of this new entity, this government, is enforcement. How many of you think that the word election or democracy or vote or ballot occurs anywhere in the 200 pages of that treaty? Quite right, it doesn't appear once. So at last, the communists who piled out of the Berlin Wall and into the environmental movement and took over Greenpeace so that my friends who founded it left within a year because they'd captured it. Now the apotheosis is at hand. They are about to impose a communist world government on the world. You have a president who has very strong sympathies with that point of view. He's going to sign. He'll sign anything. He's a Nobel Peace Laureate. Of course he'll sign it. And the trouble is this. If that treaty is signed, your constitution says that it takes precedence over your constitution. And you can't resile from that treaty unless you get the agreement of all the other states' parties. And because you'll be the biggest paying country, they're not going to let you out. So, thank you, America. You were the beacon of freedom for the world. It is a privilege merely to stand on this soil of freedom while it is still free. But in the next few weeks, unless you stop it, your president will sign your freedom, your democracy and your prosperity away forever, and neither you nor any subsequent government you may elect will have any power whatsoever to take it back again. That is how serious it is. I have read the treaty. I've seen this stuff about government and climate debt and enforcement. They are going to do this to you whether you like it or no. But I think it is here, here in your great nation, which I so love and I so admire. It is here that perhaps at this 11th hour, at the 59th minute and the 59th second, you will rise up and you will stop your president from signing that dreadful treaty, that purposeless treaty, for there is no problem with the climate, and even if there were, economically speaking, there's nothing we can do about it. So I end by saying to you the words that Winston Churchill addressed to your president in the darkest hour before the dawn of freedom in the Second World War. He quoted from your great poet Longfellow, "Sail on, O ship of state. Sail on, O Union, strong and great. Humanity, with all its fears, with all the hopes of future years, is hanging breathless on thy fate." Thank you.
Oh, this is a real patriot, huh? Real patriot. Yes, real.
He recognizes because American is, that's why our lady came here. She said that she found hope here, that we had the propensity. Remember, she used the word propensity to get this message out. But if everybody sits on their duff, look what's going to happen.
Right, right. Get those prayers going. So at least there is hope, and that even as Lord Monckton was saying, that we're going to have to petition. If this does go to the next level, we're going to have to petition our U.S. congressmen and U.S. senators for sure, because this is a real scary thing. If this ever gets executed to the level that they want it, which is totally binding. Well, you heard it. I mean, you heard what they want to do. This is where prayer and sacrifice, we alert the people, educate and inform them, as Lord Monckton is doing and other people are doing as well on the radio waves. I guess some of you listen to Alex Jones and other people who are warning of this new world order, and that this isn't just a bunch of words. Oh, one world government, new world order, hysteria, and people just saying this. This is a real event. And there's steps and measures that they're taking to execute this, to achieve this. And this is one of the vehicles they're using, is this environmentalism and this ecology. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking about last month, we mentioned how Cardinal Biffi, the Archbishop of Bologna, how he had garnered a reputation amongst the cardinals in Italy and even in Europe for speaking about the Antichrist, and that he was the retreat master for Pope Benedict the 16th 2 years ago, and one of his topics was on the Antichrist. And he said, quote, "The Antichrist presents himself as pacifist, ecologist, and ecumenist," end of quote. And Cardinal Biffi added too, and the news, all the major news organizations picked this up too, that the devil always fools us with his charm. He's not coming with a pitchfork, with fangs. He's coming as an angel of light. What has Our Lady said? I think John's going to touch on a few excerpts himself. But what has Our Lady said? He's coming as an angel of light. He's going to be quoting scriptures. Our Lord says he has many faces. He's a phony. He'll do whatever he can to get the job done. Very cunning, Our Lady said. When we talk about the Antichrist Pope and the Antichrist ruler of the one world government, now we're talking about the big guns now. We're talking about actually Lucifer and one of the major demons. So they are extreme. They have great superior intelligence, as you know, superior intelligence to us mere human beings. And they have great powers. And as Our Lady said in the message, it's a great mystery why the Eternal Father has permitted them to retain their powers even after St. Michael and the good angels threw him out of heaven. And, I mean, we know to some degree. Obviously, one of the major reasons would be what? To test us, right? I mean, God doesn't want robots. How much do you love me? Prove it. Show me. And, but when you think that this is an angel of light that's coming by, so he is, like Cardinal Biffy says, like our Lord says, like Our Lady of Bayside says, he's going to use environmentalism, ecology, as one headline said, the green antichrist. As Lord Monckton says, Greenpeace has been taken over by the communists. So as one author said, I like the way he put it, the reds of yesterday are the greens today. That's really what it is. They're going to use ideology. They're going to use environmentalism. They're going to use all of this green stuff. And that's how they're going to use this, how they're going to do this insidious stuff. There's an example that Lord Monckton is showing right now. This conference in Copenhagen, which, thank God, maybe there's prayers. Maybe it's the prayers at Our Lady of the Rosa Shrine. So that's not going to happen, apparently. We'll keep our eyes and ears open. But apparently it's delayed. And that's the power of prayer and penance and sacrifice, especially at the reparative shrine of Our Lady of the Roses, the center of atonement. When you think of a potential AC, well, Our Lady referred to Gorbachev as what?
Two-legged
demon. We have a good excerpt. Someone sent us a very interesting excerpt. Recently, remember this past year, he visited St. Francis of Assisi in Italy? This is a statement from Mikhail Gorbachev himself after he visited St. Francis's Basilica. Quote, over the last few days, some media have been disseminating fantasies, I can't use any other word, about my secret Catholicism. To sum up and avoid any misunderstandings, let me say that I have been and remain an atheist. Remember, when we talk about the Antichrist Pope, again, how he's coming as an angel of light, Our Lady on September 14, 1972 refers to the man of dark secrets onto the seat of Peter. Man of dark secrets. It's secrets. I mean, he's not coming in and blazing. He's not going to be wearing red and black and have fangs and a widow's peak. And we should tell, too, we should inform our listeners, too, anyone that might be listening in Radio Land, that when we talk about this so-called peace symbol, and that's why we phrase it so-called, because it's not, as Our Lady has warned us, and other good sources as well, that's really an occult symbol. It's a broken cross. And so that's really why it's satanic or occultic, is because it's a broken cross. Where haven't we seen it? I've seen it on buildings, T-shirts, ice cream cakes, toys. You see it everywhere. I just want to read Our Lady's words briefly, brothers and sisters. Our Lady, February 1st, 1971, quote, mothers, I must warn you, be sure that your children are well guarded, for this man of perdition, when he cannot reach you, will try to hurt you through your children. Guard them carefully. Be sure that they have the cross about their necks. Do not let these innocent souls be fooled by the ways of Satan. Do not let them bring into your homes this evil, broken cross, or it will doom your household. It is the mark of the man of perdition. End of quote. And this is just a couple more quotes. Jesus says on November 1st, 1972, this is the man of many faces who walks now in the holy house of God. He disguises himself. And then Jesus says on May 30th, 1971, we're talking about the angel of light. My children, I have also a great sadness of heart as I watch and wait for my hierarchy in my house, my church, to awaken and come out of the fog. It is sad that Satan, who comes as an angel of light among you, giving you all manner of humanistic theories based on modernism and progression, that Satan would blind you to the truth and you will accept error even to the extent of promoting the rise of the forces of Antichrist in my basilica in Rome. There are so many excerpts, ladies and gentlemen, about the angel of light. And so I just wanted to make that very clear to you, that this is one of the major vehicles they use to achieve that one world government, that new order, ecology, green this, green that, environmentalism. It's just amazing that they can take a movement like this and in the process able to achieve their objective or work towards that objective of one world government, stripping our country of sovereignty, our individual rights. And so if this comes to pass, God forbid, that now the United Nations will determine our environmental regulations. It will determine our taxation. And then on top of that, the United States will have to pay millions and millions of dollars to third world countries, many of them who are communist.
This is a special edition of St. Michael's Radio, and we've been listening to SMWA President Michael Mangan speaking at the November meeting on the New World Order that is ready to unfold. We should emphasize that the essence of this New World Order is spiritual in nature. It's the cult of the devil. It's not really financial or political. These are only tools that the octopus is using to gain power for the purpose of dismantling Christianity. It is, as Our Lady said, a political machine to enslave the world. Our Lady speaks of the Grand Masters in control, saying that, quote, openly they work under the names of socialism and communism, but secretly their members labor for Lucifer, for the destruction of souls under the pain of death. That's Our Lady speaking, November 25th, 1978. And they've been around for a long time. Our Lady said, recognize the Grand Masters in control. As it was in the time of my son, they now control your country. A synagogue of Satan is covering your land. And that's from her message of September 13th, 1975. And Our Lady uses her words carefully. So this cult goes back to the time of the Pharisees with their practice of sorcery and their murder of the Messiah. It has Talmudic roots, and they've been persecuting the church since the time of Christ. And this movement then assumed a more structured form in 1775 with the Illuminati, founded by German Jewish philosopher Adam Weishaupt. Originally, he was a Jew, and then supposedly converted and became a Catholic priest of the Jesuit order, but then he fell miserably from the ranks, like Lucifer, and harbored a vicious hatred against God and the Roman Catholic Church. And from that point, he was committed to founding a global system that would war against the Creator and subject the world's peoples to the authority of a world government run by a small financial elite. The Rothschild dynasty, seeing his sinister ambitions, commissioned him then to formulate a movement that would advance their own financial empire, since they were wealthy bankers in Germany. The Rothschild Bank was actually founded in 1743, 32 years earlier, and hence we saw the birth of the Illuminati, mentioned many times by Our Lady in the message. But neck to neck with the Illuminati, a great Christian republic was also being born, the United States, that illustrious beacon of Christianity, which politically would remain their greatest enemy in the time to come. The American Revolution posed a great threat to their plans, so the heads of the Illuminati had actually arranged for a large sum of money to be paid in order to prevent the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776, but somehow, providentially, the monies didn't come through. The Declaration was signed, America was born, and God got his way. And America, since that time, has been a major thorn in their side. And today, America remains the only nation left on earth that can act as a mighty dam to hold back the floodgates of this communistic one-world onslaught. In the message, Our Lady said, the eyes of the world are on North America, and the eyes of all creatures possessed by demons of hell are on North America, and should North America join them, North America shall fall. The Mother of God speaking, June 18th, 1981. So great emphasis has been placed on bringing down America. The plan right now is to get the U.S. to yield up its sovereignty to the New World regime. And the lever that they will use to try to pry America off its pedestal is this issue of the environment. We have to understand their psychology and their perverted credo to better understand their plan. As they see it, man must be one with the planet, not one with God. Because their God is Lucifer, who has his abode in the center of the earth, and who is now loosed upon the earth at this last hour to advance his cause. And he's doing this through his disciples, these Illuminati members, who call themselves Luciferians. They see the world as planet Lucifer, because he is the prince of this world, as Christ himself said. He generates the currents and trends of the world, which we call temptation. And according to the one-worlders, the greatest sin that can be committed is to offend against this planetary God, to offend against the environment, to go against your surroundings. It's like a point of indoctrination into the one-world religion. And when their terrestrial God has been offended, and Mother Earth has been defiled, then satisfaction must be made by bowing down to this global authority and yielding up one's national sovereignty. According to the globalists, the greatest offender is the United States of America, not because of its CO2 emissions, really, but because it has God as its leader. Traditionally speaking, she has been a beacon of Christian light to censor and hold their dirty plans in check for the past 250 years. As Our Lady said, it is a spiritual war raging today, the battle of the two majesties. And sadly, this battle has its center today within the church. Because the real object of the enemy attack is not even America, ultimately, but the papacy of the Roman Catholic Church, since this is the very source of that Christian light that they have so resented from the beginning. They want to knock America out of the way, yes, so they can be more at liberty to wage their war against the one true church under Peter. The work of Antichrist in these last days is to bring about a new secular order where God is denied and our encounter is with the world of man and the environment. Pope Pius XII, after his reading of the Fatima Third Secret, said, quote, "The day is coming when the civilized world will deny its God, when the church will doubt, as Peter doubted. She will be tempted to believe that man has become God." And this is what we have seen since the Vatican II Council. Satan entered the church at the council, which is the third secret in gist, and has since been using the church as a forum to advance this new order among the faithful, where the focus today is on the community. This secular mentality has been fostered most especially by the change of liturgy that we call the Novus Ordo, which is the name that these Masonic infiltrators gave to the Mass back at the council. Novus Ordo Seclorum means New World Order in Latin. This is not to imply that the Mass today is not valid, since Our Lady has told us many times that the Mass is valid. The sacrifice of her Son is reenacted during the consecration of the Mass, whether the priest is holy or not. But unfortunately, the liturgy today has become an instrument to condition the faithful with this secularist New World mentality, where we turn from our past and merge with the world and become one with our surroundings and other religions. You hear it every day in the church, you know. The long reign of sin has ended, and we have found our way to one another in peace and reconciliation. With the earth, that is. It's like the church today is having a harmonic convergence with the planet. It's very ecumenical. It's very environmental. And this is how Antichrist is presenting himself today. According to Cardinal Beefy, he's a seducer. He is a pacifist. And he's working through the channels of the church, using the liturgy and a fallen hierarchy to condition the faithful and get them ready for this new world order that is coming. Jesus has said it many times in the message, and I think it's worth repeating. When my church and the world become one, the end is at hand. And of course, all this is done under the guise of peace. They make it seem so wholesome. But the foregoing here really is the lesson laid up in that peace symbol, which Our Lady called the symbol of the Antichrist. It's all about Lucifer's war against the Eucharist and the priesthood. That is to say, the war against the holy sacrifice of the Mass, reflected most especially by the change of liturgy, which Our Lady said was not the work of the Holy Father. We have to understand that the priestly office is the center of all moral authority on earth. And these Illuminatis and Freemasons are strategists. They know just where to hit. So in their effort to universally do away with moral authority, they have concentrated their attack on the Catholic priesthood by defiling their office and functions. It's all contained in that Antichrist emblem known as the peace symbol. Our Lady describes, and I'm paraphrasing, the hour has struck at 12 with the hands on 4 and 8. That's demon number 4, who has special assignment against the church, battling number 8, which is the priesthood, or Eucharist. It's the story of our time laid up in that symbol, which, as we know, represents the revolt against the establishment and the order of God. Accordingly, it's the celebrated logo of the UN and all the internationalists. Everything they do is promoted under that tag. And now John Benavides is going to speak on the coming of 666 upon the world.
666 is a threefold prophecy given by Blessed Mother to Veronica. Actually, it was given by St. John in the New Testament, but it's a threefold prophecy that refers to three events that are going to take place in the end days that we are living in now. The Blessed Mother said to Veronica on February 10th, 1971, and I'm going to quote, "We reveal to you now the secret of the ages, the true meaning of Mr. 666, known as the Antichrist. Six is for the six who are coming, six is for the 6 days of suffering, six is for the six who will be punished." Man is wise, but through the ages, the true meaning becomes lost. This, my child, we give to you. We're going to focus only on the first event, the six who are coming. The six who are coming refers to six major demons, Lucifer and five other powerful demons that were condemned to hell in the beginning when they revolted against God. Lucifer spearheaded it, and the five followed behind him, and then behind those six came all the others. So these demons were condemned to hell, and now they fight against God and God's plan. St. John said in his letter, he says, "Dear children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, Antichrist is coming." And what did he mean when he said Antichrist is coming? As I said, the demons from hell in the end days would be released upon the world, and they would bring about an evolution of the governments and the religions of the world into a one world government and one world religion. This is ultimately their goal, to destroy the mission of the Catholic Church to save souls and to make it submissive to a one world government. And to do that, they have to put on the chair of Peter, their agent, who will bow down to a one world ruler and submit the religions of the world, will follow behind the anti-pope, Antichrist Pope, to this one world government. You need religion. Communists know that religion is a powerful institution. It's innate in each, in everybody. You need religion to control people, and religion is essential to their goal of taking over the world. You have to use it. The institutions in the world are being used by them. They've infiltrated into every denomination of Christianity, and at the proper time, they're coming together and they're evolving together in this one world religion. But I want to talk on the spiritual aspect here and the war of the spirits that is taking place now in the world. We're in a battle against Lucifer and the devils, and it's an unseen malice about us. It is an unseen love about us, the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit and the angels and the saints of God, the unseen love from God, and then you have the unseen malice of hell, the damned souls. And it's a spiritual, both sides are spiritual, but the hands and feet of each of these unseen forces are ourselves in the world. You have people who will be the hands and feet of the Holy Spirit in the world, and you have those who will be the hands and feet of the Antichrist in the world. And by Antichrist, we mean Lucifer and the demons in hell. Okay, so we have to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world, bringing the truth and trying to convert people back to the sacraments and bring them to the church and to save their souls. That's our mission. So I'm going to read you a few excerpts, a little bit about the war of the spirits here. On December 28, 1976, Jesus said, "Understand, my children, that you are living in the days of trial and the days spoken of by the prophets. The Armageddon is here, 666 is here. All manner of evil so foul that no human mind could conceive them have been set loose upon earth. The very bowels of hell have opened up and spewed forth demons of great strength, demons set loose upon the earth, such as have never entered upon the earth before. It is a war that will test the faith of all. You will persevere to the end, and you will be saved." So that's what we're living in now. Heaven refers to the Antichrist as a spiritual entity and as a physical entity. The physical entity is that one world ruler that will come upon the world in the end days to rule the one world government. But the spiritual Antichrist is Lucifer and five major demons with their legions. Now, heaven refers to the Antichrist as a man, a spiritual man, a supernatural man, a man from hell, a man out of hell, the man of sin, the man of perdition. These are all terms used by heaven to describe this entity. I want to read you an excerpt from Veronica. "It is not one man you shall seek, but a full army of demons, led by six demons of major incidence. They have been sent from the abyss on special mission." And then she says, "It is not one man but it is a massing of the spirits. That's Our Lady, June 12, 1976. And Our Lady on September 1377 says, "You must shout the truth that this man is not an ordinary man. He is supernatural." The evil one has to work through you or anyone who falls out of grace to a person's places and things to build up his army in the world. So these people who become the hands and feet of Satan in the world, the devil has entered into their bodies. Things you need to do to protect yourself from the Antichrist is wear sacramentals on your body, pray the scapula, the medals. These are powerful graces, remaining in a state of grace, of course. These are powerful graces to keep the evil one and keep the love of God in you. Because you want to keep the love of God in you as the primary defense against the evil one. Charity, the faith, hope, and charity, the virtues of faith, hope, and charity are your greatest defense against the evil one. And this is the light. The light in the world are these three theological virtues, which the evil one seeks to extinguish in society. These are faith, hope, and charity are the light. And when Our Lady says the world is in darkness of spirit, she means they've lost the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, on all levels of society. Atheism and immorality and despair and all the sins against charity. This is what is in the world today with the release of the evil one, this extinguishing of the light, the theological virtues. A lady says, "Prayer can only stop the man of perdition." July 1st, 1970. "You will have a great battle to remove this evil one from among you, but pray constant vigilance of prayer." That's Our Lord on 1977. On September 13, 1977, "I must warn all parents that this man of perdition has made his way into all schools. The young, the ages of 20s and 30s are his principal victims now for Satan." And then she told Veronica in 1992, "This world is polluted with sin. Satan, the devil, is capturing young souls to take them to hell with rock music and sex. MTV is Satan's way. Please don't listen. It is satanic. Everyone on earth has to die sooner or later, young or old. Life after death is forever. It is so beautiful in heaven." That was November 1992, a letter dictated by Our Lady to Veronica. Again, on March 25th, 73, says, "The agents of hell are loosed in force upon your world. Prayer can stop them." And she says, "My rosary will be the light of the world. Prayer can only stop the man of petition." July 1st, 70. The sacramentals. "Unless you wear your sacramentals and remain close to my son in the tabernacles of the world, you will not escape falling into the darkness." That was August 21st, 74. And a lady on March 1875 said, "If Satan removes your sacramentals, he has more advantage over you." The brown scapula, definitely wear the brown scapula, because if you wear the brown scapula and you die, even if you are the greatest of sinners, you will receive a conversion before you die, and you'll be restored to the friendship of God through the intercession of the Blessed Mother. Confession, the sacraments. Veronica said in June 873, she says, "The more, Our Lady says, you go to the confessional, the greater you will be strengthened." A few more excerpts. "The Eucharist, visit my son often. You must eat of his body and drink of his blood so that you will have the strength to resist the evil forces that now have invaded and multiplied upon the earth." That's Our Lady, April 6, 74. And fasting. Our Lady says, March 24, 74, "Many of these demons cannot be cast out without fasting and much prayer, prayer and fasting." So there's your armor and your weapons in the war of the Spirit. The evil one has come forward from hell today to destroy the Catholic Church, to take it over, the institutionalized church, to take it over from within, to destroy its mission, to subvert it under a one-world government, as he evolves the world's governments into this communist world dictatorship. And in the process, he's trying to spread throughout the world, make sin a way of life, so people will break the commandments, and the evil one will be able to enter into their bodies and use them and capture them. Also, another major thing you should keep aware of is the occasions of sin. Just to avoid the occasions of sin, television is a huge occasion of sin. Television, if you can't monitor your TVs, get rid of them. I know there's one lady here who threw out her television recently, and she doesn't watch TV anymore. So it's a great thing that she did. So anyway, that's a quick rundown of the talk. I mean, this is a subject that you can talk on for hours, but anyway, there we go.
Okay, thank you very much, John. It is a fascinating subject, and like you know, John said, you could do a 3-week seminar on it and still not cover enough of it.
Okay, I'm just going to read a couple of short testimonials that came in. And this one is from Pennsylvania. He said, I just wanted to let you know that a Catholic priest by the name of Father Michael Sinod was released by 6 gunmen in the Philippines after 31 days of captivity. I thank Our Lady of the Roses and Jesus for his release, because the day that I found out that he was kidnapped, I put his name on your prayer list to be released and unharmed. So he called us and we put his name on the prayer list. Catholic priest, wow. Here's a lady that just got our recent mailing, which I guess most of you got, if not everyone. And yeah, I just wanted to thank you very much for the CD on the Antichrist from your November meeting. I was very surprised to receive it and looked forward to listening to it right away. I used to be able to send for them when they were on cassettes in the past. Things changed so much in my life for finances and down luck in work over the years. Was so nice to hear a recent meeting to know what is going on in topics that you discuss, like you're not left out of the loop. Thank you so much again for it. And there was just, we recently have a new priest in our parish in his 40s. He's not afraid to tell the people about their jobs as parents or a moral issue like abortion. He is humorous but does tell folks about even hell. And he also talks on purgatory. He tells us that it is his obligation to inform us on our faith, or he wouldn't be doing his job as a priest. Boy, I wish a lot more priests thought like him. Which I think heard he's only been a priest for 7 or 8 years. He also allows us to receive the host on our tongues, as our other priests also did. So happy for that yet. Just wanted to let you know, and that's all. And then she signs her name from Pennsylvania. So she's got a decent priest there who allows, he talks about hell, purgatory. That's a rarity these days. And one more here from Ireland. This is the people that look at the computers, and they're able to see what we have on there. I want to thank you so much for all the work you are doing. I am so happy to read this off the internet, and now I will spread it in Ireland, all who will listen to me. The merciful God has given us a little more time to pray and make amends for our sinfulness. I would like to receive some of the books and messages by post. Well, you know, the Irish say post, they always mean by mail. We say mail, they say post. And then she signs a name. So a lot of people know about the shrine through the internet. It's a new, I know we have some older Baysiders that, you know, they were thinking that you should still pass out the old messages from years ago, and they don't realize that because they're getting older and they don't have a computer, they're not on the internet. They don't realize that the new way of spreading the message, fantastic, is through the internet, you know? All right, dear Daryl Bolsey and St. Michael's World Apostolate, I would like to give thanks for the gift that you send me, and I just received it. Anyway, what really strikes me about this Bayside apparition is the loyalty to tradition without being detached to the present system of the church. Many traditionalists are now going away from the church, but Bayside remains a good and faithful example. Here I am also come with your apostolate in my prayers. You are remembered especially at the Masses and Rosary. Viva Our Lady of the Roses. And who, I'm trying to see who sent this. A Filipino brother? Okay, very good. That's a real nice testimony. Yeah, he's happy that we're traditional and still staying with the church, where he says the traditionalists ran off, which of course they all did, and started their own parishes, you know, over the years. That's what I think one of the priests in our parish, without mentioning his name, he says the same thing. He says, what amazes me about you guys is you're traditional, but you stay with the church, because he knows most of the traditional people took off and became Pius X people. Then I just wanted to mention about, I guess you've all got our latest mailing, and of course we discussed about our finances, which are a little tough, and I know everyone's hurting financially. We're well aware of that. So I had signed this, and the reason that I was able to sign this, because I'm the one that pays I see all the checks that come in. I also pay all the bills. So I know the finances of our shrine. So we are hurting a little bit, and if you can give a little extra at this time, we really would appreciate that. I know all the parishes are asking the same thing. I mean, you probably all got letters in your parishes asking the same thing in the past couple of months, right? Can you give a little more? But we really appreciate it if you can give a little more at this time. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, James. And Peter, if you would step up. Peter has a couple of words to say, too, about our international apostolate and how we service the military when we can as well.
Yes, I just want to let you know that through the course of the years now, we've been giving a lot of rosaries, scapulars, rose petals, all religious gifts. We send them to Africa, India, Ecuador, Nicaragua. We give, like, to Dahlia when she's going to Ecuador, rosaries, scapulars, everything, and also Guatemala. What it is that we do get a lot of priests that do write, and they ask for religious articles and so on. And we're delighted to give it to them, and we do pack them up. I used to send them out in pretty big boxes and everything, and they're very pleased and very happy to receive. And a lot of these people in these countries, they're destitute. They don't have anything. But no, a lot in Central America we've given, and we had a priest recently. He was from Nicaragua. All right, well, that's basically the idea, is that this is a world apostolate. We're giving out the rosaries, the scapulars, these are all lifesavers, rose petals, the messages, everything, okay? We need scapular makers. We need rosaries, rose petals. We need your support. Anyway, thank you ever so much.
Thank you, Pete. Peter Frank, brother of the Lay Order of St. Michael. And now let's hear very briefly from another brother of the Lay Order of St. Michael, William Dykes.
Okay, we want you guys to go somewhere with us to the Pro-Life 2010. And we figured out all the charges and everything, but we're only going to charge $25 and go all the way down to Washington, all the way back. It turns out to be a nickel a mile for Our Lady and Jesus. And so it's going to be this year, January 22nd, 2010, Friday. It's a Friday. You have to give up your hairstyling for that day. Yeah, we're going to meet at St. Luke's Church. I think the Mass is 6 or 6:30. The bus is going to leave at 7 o'clock. Okay, and we only can do 54 seats. That's it. We're only going to take down one bus, and as you know, we always have a great time, and sometimes out the window we see like a blue image or something, or a rainbow in the sky. We've seen different things throughout the years. So anyway, that's a very worthy cause. It's Our Lady said the main cause she came to this country is for fighting abortion. So I think she would be very happy if we went down to Washington, D.C., kept going. So anyway, January 22nd, Friday, we'll keep you posted. $25. Get your name in, get your money in, and we'll see you on the grounds. Thank you.
Okay, you can see William. He'll be organizing it. So yeah, boy, you can't get a more important cause, or one of the more worthier causes for sure. Obviously, our primary cause and mission is Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help of Mothers, St. Michael's World Apostolate, the Holy Hours, Vigils, getting the message out. But that's part of it. is participating in that pilgrimage to Washington, D.C., a time of reparation. A lot of prayers and rosaries are being said there. We're getting out thousands of messages down there to all the other Catholics and other good, the faithful down there as well. So it's an opportunity to evangelize, excellent opportunity to get that message out. So mark that, mark your calendar. That's Friday, January 22nd.
Your generosity and financial assistance is greatly appreciated at this time and needed. The financial crunch has certainly taken its toll at SMWA, with donations down 25% from last year, and at a time when it's needed most. If there was ever a time to shout this urgent message from the rooftops, it is now, at this critical moment in the history of our country. The plan of Antichrist for the enslavement of America is unfolding, as prophesied by Our Lady, and only the light of heaven can hold off the darkness, that the doors of peace may continue to remain open to us. Our goal at this time is to step up our efforts and accelerate the race from heaven. But without your support, we are virtually on the sidelines. Could you not help us at this time? We appeal to you because it is you that we depend on. It is because of your prayers and your assistance that we are where we are today. And we're hoping that your continued assistance will continue to strengthen that bond and that solidarity that are so needed in these unstable times. Our Lady asks that we remain united in faith and love and go forward as disciples of the latter days. St. Paul exhorts the faithful in Christ to be careful always to preserve the unity and bond of peace. And this is said not only with respect to what we do, but to what we don't do. If a family member is suffering a migraine, doesn't one of the other members come to his aid and buy him a bottle of aspirin? Only costs about $2.50, but it can make all the difference in the world. And you too can make the difference. Consider just how easy it would be to do great things for the cause. If each person receiving this mailing were to put aside $2.50 a week and send it to us at the end of the month, this would greatly alleviate our headaches and pains and send St. Michael's World Apostolate on its way to victory. Your tax-deductible contribution is fuel in our tank that runs this machine, and it needs to be put into gear quickly because the prophecies of heaven are now unfolding with a new world order ready to kick in. Yet very few are sounding the horn as to what is coming, and what we must now do to save ourselves and our country. St. Michael's is the one apostolate committing to bringing this urgent and soul-saving message to the world. You're not going to get this message anywhere else. Don't expect the gospel truth anymore from the pulpit. Our Lady herself has said this. When's the last time you heard your pastor say that we must all say the rosary each day and wear the brown scapular? You're not going to hear this. When's the last time you heard from the pulpit that Russia urgently needs to be consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and that the ugly hand of communism has reached in to desecrate the Holy Eucharist through the sacrilegious practice of communion in the hand, and that we should not receive communion in the hand? When's the last time you heard this? You're not going to hear it. When's the last time your pastor told the congregation that the justice of an angry God is about to descend upon our nation for the sin of homosexuality, and that we must all use our time now to get ready and work out our salvation with fear and trembling? You're simply not going to hear the gospel truth anymore. They are ashamed. Our Lady has said this. Yet, how many Catholics are giving $20 or $30 a week or more to their parish when much of this is going to funding the new revolution? The money goes to parish programs. Everything from bingo club to youth ministry to funding charismatic retreats and programs. They use this money for training Eucharistic ministers, or for indoctrinating the children with the new polluted catechisms that Our Lady has complained so bitterly about. They use inclusive language. So if your intention is truly to propagate the faith and save souls for heaven, well, here's your chance. We humbly suggest and request that you put aside that $2.50 a week and send it to us at the end of the month, made payable to St. Michael's World Apostolate. And you don't have to wait till the end of the month either. And if you can send more, that's all the more graces for you, for us, and all of God's children. 'Tis the season. Send your letters today to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. And if you have any special prayer petitions for yourself or your loved ones, include it in the envelope and we in turn will place it at Our Lady's feet at the next vigil. Please know that whatever you do send is deeply appreciated by all of us at St. Michael's World Apostolate. We hope that you enjoyed today's presentation. It's important that we keep abreast of our times now concerning this one-world government that they are trying to come in with. According to Our Lady, the visible head of this one-world government is ready to emerge. Our Lady calls him the despot, the Antichrist. In the message of October 6, 1992, she tells Veronica, you will recognize him by his deeds. And of course, his deeds are to war against the ordinance of the Almighty on this planet. You know, he wants to be God. He wants to overthrow Christianity. He wants to run and rule everything himself, and he can't quite do it. And now he's turning green. We would invite you to write for the free information. Our mailing address again is St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website, www.smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you.